Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
This is our final service in this room today. Thank you for coming. We just have had a great time the last two. And next week, of course, we have our grand opening. And then remember, that service starts at 10:30. And it's just one Sunday service. Our very first service, almost 20 years ago, when we finished the first service, I got up and I said to the congregation, I said, there were 33 people there. I said, hey guys, I said, before you go, let me take your picture. And I took a picture of them, that first 33 people, and I know it's somewhere, we just can't find it. That shouldn't surprise you about me. So to be a little bit more thorough, we want to take a picture of you, the last service that we're here today. And so, now the amazing thing is that they're actually trusting me to do this. And so I'm going to take a panoramic picture, no less, with an iPhone. At the end of the service this morning, you're going to be able to go, it'll be uploaded even before the service is over, on the church's Facebook page and my personal Facebook page. And you can, if you don't know how to get on a Facebook page, ask a kid. And okay, and you can tag yourself, hopefully in the picture. You can find yourself and tag yourself. And it's just going to be a cool way. We have it from Saturday night in the 9 o'clock service. So let me get up here, pray that I will do this well. It changed the lights for me. Thank you very much. So this is what I deal with all the time. Bright lights and I can't see your face. All right. So we're going to do this. Okay. Let me see. Here we go. All right. Jesus help me. If you've ever done panoramic on an iPhone, you've got to keep it on the line. Oh, Steve Moore, I'm on the line. I'm a beast. It's working. We're tearing it up. We're doing it. It's there. And we are panoramic, I think. We did. Yes. It worked. All right. You're in there. You are a part of the history of Victory Family Church. You're here as our very last service here in this building. This sacred space is going to be converted to a youth center. Pastor Steve's, in fact, at the end going to ask some strong, manly men to stay around and help us take out the chairs. They are starting this afternoon in earnest of just destroying this room and converting it over to our youth. And so the youth are going to have writing their own stories for the future. This is the weekend, of course, so we say goodbye to this. And I want to take some time and talk to you about the last 7 years in this building, and then I want to transition and pivot to talk to you about our future. This weekend, also significant in our family, is that my daughter Sienna graduated from high school on Friday, and she's here with me this morning. I love my baby. Squeeze you. But as difficult as it is when your children graduate, this is somewhat muted this year in that my precious daughter is going to Grove City College, thank you, Jesus, and not Oklahoma, like my selfish son, who goes 1,000 miles away and breaks his father's heart and won't call his mother and talk to her as frequently as he should. But nonetheless, Grove City is about a 40-minute drive from our house. The way I drive, we can get there in 30. And so, Sienna, baby, it's not goodbye. It's see you three times a week, baby. So we're excited about that. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a fun weekend so far. But I just want to take a little bit of time and talk to you about what's happening here in this room. What has happened since 2006, 7 years, plus a couple months. Michelle and I have had the amazing privilege to see God do some incredible things. So the last 7 years, I've stood here and watched thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people lift their hand and receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. It is one of the most humbling experiences of my life. It is the honor of my life to be able to have stood in this position by the grace of God and to see that happen in this room. It's incredible. And I'm sure some of you hearing me this morning are one of those people that raised your hand. And it's an incredible story, your children, your family. I've seen people's bodies healed in this room. I've watched God move and intervene by His grace, His mercy, His power, and heal bodies. I mean, sick diseases, that incurable things that God has done. It's an amazing thing to be a part of the work of God. And I'm so thankful over these last 7 years to have experienced it. You know, probably the most significant testimony I ever get to hear, other than people giving their life to Christ, is when people come up to Michelle or to me over and over and over again. And they say, you know, Pastor John, when we came to Victory, our marriage was over. Some people say we had even separated. We were seeing lawyers. The paperwork was in place. And then people invited us to church. And we both gave our lives to Christ. And he put us back together, not just to survive each other, but now we have a thriving marriage. And our children will never know the sorrow of a broken home. If you've ever been through divorce and had your family fracture, you know that it's an almost insurmountable pain that you've experienced and your children experience. And by the grace of God, we've seen people in that condition as well. Jesus, heal those broken hearts and heal those broken wounds in this church. And youth ministries and children's ministries that are supporting those kids that have gone through those situations. We've watched God do amazing, amazing, amazing things in this room. One of the most incredible things I've got to witness in these last 6 or 7 plus years is this, is I've seen God extract the precious out of what people have called worthless. You know, a lot of us are written off by people. People can write you off. You can have some things happen in your life or things that you do that you're not proud of, and people will write you off. I've watched God take that which people have written off and extract what people have said is worthless, and God extract the precious out of it. Watch that happen. And it's sometimes not that other people write us off. The truth of it is, what's more critical and more common is that we write ourselves off. And we begin to define our worth by what we've experienced or the circumstances of our life or what we think we should have or shouldn't have done by this point in our life. And we begin to diminish our own worth by our circumstances. When I've watched God take people, because I don't know about you, but I know this for me. I know that finding out that my Father loves me with an everlasting love, that I'm loved of the Father, has changed my life. It has been the honor of my life to proclaim the truth of God's Word, that the Father Himself loves you. And to watch how that power of His love has changed people's lives over and over again over these 7 years in this room has been absolutely remarkable. In this room, we've had tears of sorrow, tears of joy. Most of the tears of laughter have been at the expense of Steve Moore on video, where he would... I love that. In fact, what happened was last night, I mentioned that in and I said to our team, I said, well, wouldn't it have been great if you guys had one of those ready? I could have just popped it up there, and they never said anything to me. And I happened to mention it again at 9 o'clock, and in the middle of me saying it, up went Steve. And then they came back after the second service and apologized to him, and I thanked them profusely. And so again, you got the opportunity. But I mean, I have to tell you, I've seen him do some stuff on video, and so just laughed to tears in this room. Also, there have been tears of sorrow in this room. Right here is where my father's casket was. And I did my father's funeral in this room. There's been sorrow in this room. There's been joy. There's been weddings. There's been homegoings and funerals. There's been so much in this room that God's done. And it's just been an absolute honor. And much more is to come. And yet, we don't attach ourselves to a place, but we also don't want to diminish and be unthankful for what God's done. You know, last year after my son graduated from high school, Michelle and I recognized that our kids really didn't know our personal story as well as they should. Because they grew up we have a lovely home, and we pastor this incredible church. And so our kids, through their teenage years, you know, just grew up with this. And to them, that's what life is. And that they didn't know the days when things were not like this. And so we took a day and we got the kids in the car and we spent a day where we drove them around and told them about the story of our life and what God has done for us. We started by telling them our personal story as we drove. Michelle told the kids about what she went through. And again, Michelle's mom is here with us today again. She's going to be here all through next week. And so my mother-in-law's here from Florida, and just we love her so much. It's so good to have her. Would you welcome her again with us today? And love you, Mom. And Michelle told them the story of what it was like to grow up being abandoned by a father, and what it did to her as a person. And I told them the stories of my life and broken places in my life. Then we drove them down to where we used to live when we first got married. And on the way, you know, we were there. We kind of showed them when we got there, the house where we stayed, the roof is actually collapsing now. When we lived there, it wasn't that bad. Although our next door neighbors, they sold drugs at the house next door to us. They had a lot of company. And that's where we lived. And it was, my mom was actually born in that house. And so this home had deteriorated through the years. And when we came off the road traveling, that's where we stayed. And while we were there, interestingly, just coincidentally, a young man walked into the house next door. He was in his late teens, early 20s or so. And you could just see he had a hard life. He looked hard. He looked like life had been difficult. He was dressed like life had been difficult. And I said to our kids as they walked in, as the boy walked in, I said, guys, the only difference between you and that boy is Jesus. That's it. And we've taught our kids through the years, and I'm grateful that they've received it, is that no one is beneath you. You are not better than a living soul on the planet. Everything you are and everything you have is by the mercy and the grace of and the kindness of God. And we wanted them to see the places where we started. Then we went up to the next place that we lived, which was kind of a step up, but if you ask my kids, it didn't look like much of a step up, but compared to the place where they sold drugs, it got better. And we, as we got there, we said, right in those rooms there is Ryan, we brought you back from the hospital. That's your first bedroom right there. And that's where your mom and I knelt down and we prayed about the church before we started it and had small prayer meetings there with, there was another lady that came. My mom showed up and there were just four of us and we would kneel down and we would pray about the church that would begin. And so we wanted them to see and experience not just what God had done in His favor and His kindness. We wanted them to have a history and a recognition that all the good in their life came because of a kind and good and merciful Heavenly Father. And so we wanted to lay down, as it were, memorial stones in their life. The Bible, again and again throughout Scripture, particularly the Old Testament, God would instruct His people to build memorials. And they would be marks where the people would be able to point back to an experience where the faithfulness of God was experienced and observed. And that happened once in the ministry of Joshua, where he took over, of course, for Moses. And Joshua was leading them into the Promised Land. Now, in order to get to the Promised Land, they had to cross the River Jordan. Now, the River Jordan at this time was at flood stage. Now, if you've ever been at a river at flood stage, it's a very dangerous place to be. And it's impossible to pass over a river at flood stage if you're going to try to wade through it. It's just impossible. And so the children of Israel could not get to the other side of the Jordan. God instructed Joshua. He said, tell the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant or the presence of God to walk into the water. And when they do, Then basically, it wasn't telling them to stop. He was telling them, you walk. Trust God and walk into the floodwaters. Now, how many of you know if God doesn't do something, there'll be some dead priest? Right? But the Bible said the minute their feet hit the water, God showed up and moved miraculously. And the Bible said the waters began to pile up. So they came to where the priests were and stopped and began to pile up. Now, can you imagine watching God do that? And then the river dried. And not only was that river now clear, it dried up. And an entire nation of millions of people walked across dry ground. When they got to the other side, Joshua, by direction of God, took one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, one of the leaders, and he said to them, he said, now, each of you a leader, 12 of you, go back into the river while the waters were congealed and piled up. He said, and go take a stone, a large stone, and carry it back. And they went and they carried out the stones and they had 12 stones. And then Joshua instructed them to go back and stand in the middle of the river. Now, let me tell you something, guys. You better be trusting God. Can you imagine standing there and a big old wall of water is piling up and you're on the other side of it just standing there? That's a precarious place to be. But it shows the faithfulness of God. And then Joshua had the people build a small memorial out of those 12 stones. Let me read to what he said in Joshua 4, verse 6. He said, "And this, that is the memorial, is to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." In other words, when your little ones would walk by with their mom or dad and said, "Daddy, Mommy, what do these stones mean?" He said, "You tell them these stones were in the middle of that river and your God stopped the waters because we as a people lived on the other side as a nomadic people. We wandered in the wilderness for decades and your God stopped the waters of that river and we walked across as a people into a land of milk and honey and houses we didn't build and lands we didn't cultivate, and God gave us this land. And these stones came from those waters." And he said, "I want you to rehearse to them. I want you to set moments in your life where you tell them about the faithfulness of God. If our children ever needed to know anything in the world in which we live, is that there is a faithful God that they can trust and walk with." Amen? It's absolutely critical. We have a faithful, faithful, faithful God. I've spent the last 3 weeks, including this week, 4 weeks, laying down memorial stones for you, so that you can have some understanding of that this church didn't just happen. That this was a move of God Himself. It was a miraculous thing. And when you're driving to church, maybe next weekend when you come, and you're in the car, tell your kids of the stories. These rooms that are being renovated again by the children's department, and they go into their newly made rooms, and the youth center converted to children's or elementary spaces. This room, thank you to our God and to your faithfulness, you financed and paid cash to be able to renovate this entire room to a youth center. Our kids need to know that this started with a word from God, with two kids driving in a car, and God showed up. And 20 years later, there's about a $30 million campus. That didn't just happen. That is a move of God Himself. And tell the story to your kids. Psalms 26:7 tells us this, "That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works." It's been our heart's desire for our kids and mine for yours, and we as a congregation, including us, we really should be thankful of what God has done over these last 20 years and what He's about to do. And now, let me pivot a bit and talk to you a bit about the future. In the coming years, God is going to do some incredible things. It was 20 years ago this fall when Michelle and I stood before 33 people, actually it would have been 31, not counting us, and told them about the day you're coming into right now. That first day, I told that congregation of 33 people that the day would come when we would build a church that would seat multiple thousands of people, and talked about what God was going to do. And it took 20 years for it to come to pass, almost 20. And I was as convinced then as I am today, because what God says, He brings to pass. And we've seen His faithfulness. And let me tell you about the coming years. We are about to step into something that I believe it, in this region and this part of the nation, will be historic. Because we are going to see a church of multiplied thousands. Now, that's just a bunch of people. You're absolutely right. Every one of those are people Jesus died for. We're talking about touching people forever with the power of God. And it makes an absolute difference. And I want to encourage you to know that we're going to see it come to pass. We're going to see divorces canceled multiple times. People today that are sitting in darkness, their heart broken, a year, two, three, 4 years from now, they are going to come into the life-changing power of the gospel, and Jesus will put their life back together. It's not about a building. It's about the miracles that will happen in that place. And it's about to multiply. You know, the Bible said there were times when many were added to the church. And then the Bible says there were times when their numbers multiplied. And I'm telling you, listen to me, we are about to come into a time of multiplication where we are going to see God do something that all of us, I believe, if we're wise, will be humbled by it and certainly will be thankful for it. One of my favorite quotes is by a lady named Catherine Booth. She said this. She said, there is no improving the future without disturbing the present. You don't get to tomorrows that are different, that are greater, that are life lifting, that are people lifting, that are burden destroying without disturbing your present. And I want you to know that God has called Michelle and I for 20 years. He told us to go step into the waters. And he said, just go. And let me tell you, if God didn't show up, we would have drowned. But, you know, it wasn't just we that stepped into the water for these last 20 years. There's been a congregation of people who've stepped into the waters with us. And we've stepped into those waters and we've seen the faithfulness of God. Now, what I would tell you this is, God has led us just to never leave the waters. We've spent 20 years just staying in that spot, watching the faithfulness of God. I believe my call on my life has been to pastor with Michelle, to pastor and pioneer this church, that I've spent my life with a Bible in one hand and a hammer in the other, that we build a campus, and someday it is my desire, and I believe the call of God upon my life, that when this campus is totally built out before my days are done here, that this will be a debt-free campus, and we'll turn this over to our next generation, and they will shake this world. Amen? Praise God. What an honor. You see, Romans 14:7 tells us this: for none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. None of us are an island. None of us. None of us live to ourselves and none of us die to ourselves. Every one of your lives, every one of our lives, you were made and meant to make a difference. Don't you think, well, I'm just insignificant. My little part over here didn't matter. No one knows me. Let me tell you, the King of all glory knows you. And he has a distinct purpose for your life. It matters what you do for God. It matters if you grow up spiritually. It matters if you go on with God. It matters that your Christianity isn't something you do for an hour and a half on a Sunday. It matters that you grow up and develop as a believer. It matters that you become strong in God, that you learn to live your everyday life governed by the Word of God, the power of God, and the almighty grace of God. It's one of the reasons as a church we provide the opportunities that God's led us to give you those places and stepping stones where you can fall into the goodness of God and experience growth in Him. One is, you come on weekends, come every weekend to church and be encouraged and lifted up and build up as we celebrate Christ together. And then also we have a growth track. The first Sunday night of every month is what? 101. Isn't that simple? The second is? Third? Fourth? Pretty simple, huh? So what would this be? The first Sunday night of this month is 101. So tonight at 5:45 begins, we'll start speaking at 6. Michelle and I will be here doing 101, which is our church membership. If you're not a member of Victory, or you are a member, you've never been to it, come. And we're going to explain to you just the vision. It's kind of a kick the tires time to find out, is this where I belong? Because you are meant to belong somewhere. And it matters that you connect and belong somewhere. Then get into the 201 class, which is the essentials, learning the skills and the tools to grow spiritually. The 301 is when you discover your gifts and your gift mix. The 401 is where you find the place to actually discover where you should serve in this church. And let me tell you, it matters that you become connected and serve in a church somewhere. If it's not this one, it needs to be in some church because you are meant and made to make a difference. So if you say, well, I haven't signed up or anything, don't worry about it. Just show up. As many as you come, we'll accommodate you. We're ready for you. We are more than ready. You come tonight, 5:45. Michelle and I will be here and we'll spend that time together tonight. Church 101. I want to encourage you. Don't miss it. And I want to remind you as well to bring somebody with you next weekend. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. First, let me read you a scripture. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest now.
I'm coming to church next weekend, next month,
next year.
I just don't know it yet. Since my divorce, every day seems so overwhelming. But you will care for my kids while I experience God during service. My life has been so insignificant and depressing, but you will welcome me as I walk through the doors.
I make great money, I have a big house and a family, but sometimes I still feel all alone. Your kindness will soften my heart as soon as I pull into the parking lot.
You are the people that have built a church
that will change my life.
You waved at me when you got your mail. You smile at me every morning when I serve you coffee.
You passed me on the way to your desk this morning.
Now all you need to do is invite me.
Next weekend, I want that to be your story. I want those are, of course, fictional people in the future. But I want you next weekend to do what God has called all of us to do, what Jesus said. He said, go out, for the harvest is ripe right now. Jesus said it this way. He said, go into the highways and the hedges of life and compel them to come that my house may be filled. Now, he's not talking about a building. He's talking about a kingdom to get those dear ones out of darkness into light. And I want to encourage everybody here next weekend to get somebody here with you that doesn't know Christ. Listen to me. I'm not talking about Friend Sunday where you go find a friend at another church and come to my church. None of that. Okay, they're welcome to visit. But we didn't build this to have people move from one pew to another. We're talking about people that do not know Jesus or are far from God. And every one of us, listen now, have been given influence in our life. You have influence with people that I don't have. You know people that I don't know. And I want to encourage you. I want you to trust God to go into the lives of the people that you have influence. And I want to encourage you to get them here next weekend with you. Sure, you can send e-vites and Facebook invites and cards you can give out. But I want you to go to the next level. I want you to do what Jesus said. I want you to go into the highways and the hedges and listen to this word. He said, and compel them to come. That means if you need to, you say, I'll come pick you up. If you need to, you go take them to breakfast. I think the hot dog shop still serves cheap breakfast. It's good. It's not healthy, but it's good. And and if you want to go upscale, take them to First Watch. Cost you an arm and a leg compared to the hot dog shop, but, you know, whatever. Do whatever you've got to do. Get people here. Compel them to come with you. Use your influence to get somebody with you. So, listen, I'm convinced that somebody in this church will fill up vans and get people here. One of you might go rent a bus and go somewhere and pick up piles of people. You say, well, what if we're going to do that? Just call us, we'll get you bus parking. See, are you serious? I'm as serious as I know how to be. Can I tell you this? If you will do what God leads you to do, if you will take that step, I promise you, you will experience something next weekend that you will not experience in any other way, that somebody who came here hellbound will leave heaven bound because you are the hands and feet of Jesus. And I'm believing God next weekend, and I want to ask you, will you believe God with me? I'm believing next weekend at Grand Opening, our Saturday night at 6 o'clock service, or Sunday morning at 10:30, to see 600 people give their life to Christ. Can you believe God with me for that? Let's believe God together, would you? I'm believing with all my heart to see that come to pass. Now I want to ask you to do something if you're serious about this commitment. Because I want to pray for every person who you're serious about getting somebody here with you next week. Not hypothetically. Not, well, someone else might do it, but to take the words of Jesus seriously. That your food, your sustenance is to do the will of God. And he said the will of God is to don't wait that the harvest is 4 months off. He said it's right now. It's ripe right now. And he wasn't talking about food. He was talking about people. The Bible calls people the precious fruit of the earth. And I want to encourage you to believe God. And if you're serious about it, in a moment I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to pray for every standing person that God will the people that you have influence with, one, that God will put certain people in your heart and you'll go after them. And I mean, you'll go after them. You'll move heaven and earth to get them here next weekend and fill this place with people that need Jesus. And let's believe God to see 600 people come to Christ next weekend. So if you're willing to take that step and trust God with me and for God to use you, would you stand right now? I want to pray for you. And let's believe God together. Listen, guys, this matters. This is heaven and hell for somebody. It matters, it matters, it matters, it matters. As you're standing, let me tell you a story. Well, let me pray for you first, and I want to tell you something because this matters. Because you were made and meant to make a difference. Let me pray for you first. Father, for every person standing, I ask you to give them favor into the lives of the people they have influence with and they're connected to. I ask you to place people in our hearts right now that are without you or far from you, whose lives are struggling, or that may not be even look like they're struggling, but you put them in our heart. Lord, I ask you to give us the wisdom to be able to step into that territory. And now I ask you for favor and I ask you for confidence and boldness as we make that bold step. And by faith, Lord, I thank you that every person standing, there will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or more people coming with them. And we will see a mighty move of God in that place. And I'm trusting you at a minimum, Father. And we join our faith together to see 600 people come to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, let me wind down by telling you a story that I believe we're going to see multiplied over and over and over again. Several years ago, my mother-in-law was up here with her husband, and my father-in-law and I were at Walmart. And just minding my own business, going to Walmart, you know, went through the checkout line. We were just finishing checking out. And a lady walked up to me. And she said, "Are you Pastor Nuzzo?" My assumption was she had been here at Victory at one time or another. I said, "Yes, I am." And then what she did really was startling. She started to cry. And I don't mean just with a little tear in her eye. She started to cry where she couldn't talk. The kind of crying that you do when someone's dead. There was a quiet sobbing, and she couldn't get her composure back. And so it wasn't uncomfortable, but it was kind of odd. You know, it wasn't prepared for it. You're kind of ready to leave and you don't know what to do. You're trying to comfort this person, but you don't know what's wrong. And finally she got her composure back, and she looked up at me, and here's what she said. She said, "Because of you, my son is not dead." And you know, I was taken aback by it. Tell me about your son. I didn't know I knew him. You know, I didn't know anything about it. And you know, the story she told me, she said this: "My son for years has been a heroin addict. I can't tell you how many times he had been close to death, and 3 or 4 times she said he had actually, you know, almost died." And she said he was dying. There was no way we were going to keep him. Someone invited him to your church. And he came to your church, and then he came also to your outreach to those who suffer with addiction. She said, "It's been years now, and my son has been clean. He's married now, and I have grandchildren." And she said, "I just want to thank you for saving my son's life." I said, "Ma'am, I want to tell you the truth. I don't go to that outreach. Those are people in our church that do that. I go there once a year to celebrate on their anniversary. Those people in our church serve your son. And more importantly than even any of our people, I want you to know God himself looked after your son, and he loved your son, and he loves you. And it's Jesus that rescued your son." I said, "But thank you. It's just an honor to be a part of his life." You know, somebody invited that boy here on heroin. When you talk about hopeless, and today he's married and a family. He's no longer fighting every day just to not use a drug. He has a purpose for his life. He said, "Well, what kind of people should we bring? The kind that breathe." That's it. If they breathe, bring them. So what if they're not dressed appropriately? Okay, I mean, I'm not a fashion statement. Don't worry about it. I don't care how they come. So what if they're a little stoned or drunk on Saturday night? I don't care either. So I'm guessing some of y'all in this room's been stoned or drunk before yourself. Jesus showed up in your life. I don't care. If they're breathing, bring them. And let God, listen, you don't catch fish till you clean them. You don't clean fish till you catch them, I should say. You clean the fish before you catch them, you is fine. We're not interested in cleaning people up. We're interested in bringing them to Jesus and let God do the work in their life. So you come next weekend. Come, and I'm telling you guys, come and you bring somebody with you and you trust God for it. And we're going to see 600 people, I believe, at a minimum over next weekend come to know our Savior. Can you believe God with me for that? Amen. Let's believe God together. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Father, I thank you for your great grace. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are here this morning and you don't know our Savior, if you died today, you don't know where you'd spend forever. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, I want to pray for you. If you just remain seated, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you do, you know Jesus. I didn't ask you if you're a good person or if you're a church member or had a church sacrament. If you died today, dear one, where will you spend forever in eternity? Jesus said there is a heaven to gain. Jesus said there is a hell to shun. And there is no way of eternal life except by making Him the Lord of your life. He paid the debt that no one can pay for you. And He asks and offers to you the free gift of eternal life by accepting Jesus as the Lord of your life. And if you'll invite Him into your heart, the Scripture said, He will turn no one away. He'll come into your life and never leave you, forsake you. Your sin washed away, and you'll be brand new in the presence of God. So if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor John, I want to invite Christ in my heart. I want to make Jesus the Savior of my life. Pray for me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd like to be included in a prayer to invite Jesus in your heart, I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're at in your seat. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I'll pray for you right where you're at in your seat. Right now with heads bowed, eyes closed, say, Pastor, include me. Would you lift your hand right now and I'll pray for you? Do it right now and I'll pray. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. If you've not yet raised your hand, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You said, include me. I've not yet raised my hand, Pastor, but include me as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Right where you're seated, say, Pastor, include me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. If you raised your hand or you should have, please pray this out loud. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Pray this where you hear it, and we'll pray it together with you. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray this where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I boldly confess, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.